God's peace today to you all in the presence of Jesus and his glorious word that we share together today. And again, this is a day the Lord has made. As the rain comes down, that's okay. We enjoy the rain. We enjoy God's blessing of the life that he gives us. And all God's people said, Amen. You know, this is an important time to gather and worship. Every opportunity God gives us is special. And, you know, we often think that we make the decision to come into his presence. But, you know, he comes into our presence and he gets our attention as he's doing today in his word. He gets our attention through the witness, the love, the care that others have for us in the name of Jesus. So today is a special day, as Pastor Chris reminded us. This is All Saints Day, in which we remember with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts for those Christians, our family members, and others who we know beyond the membership of the church, Christians who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and now enjoy God's presence in heaven. And it's always a time, really, to pause and to reflect upon how special every day is. We take it for granted that it'll always be the next day on earth, but it could be our next day in heaven. And that really isn't a sad thing. It's something that we really are prepared for all of our earthly life by God himself. And, you know, he cares for us so much, he loves us so much, that he gave his son into death, take our place on the cross, suffer and die, the perfect sacrifice, that our sins are forgiven. Now, we know the story. We know the real story. But so often, we miss the gospel. So many people are missing the gospel today. Jesus had an occasion, you know, he met several people came into his life asking questions, you know, tried to put him on the spot, tried to, you know, get him caught up in his own words and so on. But, of course, he always came up on top because God always comes up on top, right? Well, in the Mark's Gospel today, not the reading that we heard today, but the reading I chose for this Sunday is Mark chapter 12, verses 28, and I want to read to you a section of it here. One of the scribes approached Jesus, a very pious and learned man of the temple, considered himself a child of God, and came to Jesus, and he had been listening to the discussion prior to this. The Sadducees had been debating, you know, whether or not the resurrection could ever happen, would ever happen, and he had been listening to this discussion and how Jesus had answered. How Jesus answered, of course, there is a resurrection through him. And the scribe goes to Jesus and he says, "What are we to consider the greatest commandment of all?" "The first and most important one is this," said Jesus. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." So any discussion at all begins with God, the true God. Not false gods, but the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's how we begin our day. It's how we begin our moments, our seconds, our lives. Always recognizing that the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is with us, around us, and about us. The Lord our God is one. And then Jesus goes on to say, "And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." In other words, love God with everything you are, everything you have, every breath you take, every moment you're thinking is, "I love God." Nothing gets in the way. It's totally consuming. You might, some might call it, "Well, that sounds like an obsession." Well, it is. We're obsessed with God because he created us. And of course, you know that he recreated us, remade us in the image of his son by the suffering and death of his son. So everything about us, everything we are and have and possess, it's all about God. And then secondly, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I think probably most people love themselves. Would you think most people do? I mean, I know we have moments where we kind of hate what we did or said or, you know, whatever. But and there are people who, of course, really struggle with loving themselves. But most people do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Are those easy things to do? Well, when Jesus had said this, the scribe answered, yea, Lord, yeah, you're right. And all this stuff with sacrifices and offerings and so on, that really doesn't get it, does it? And of course, it doesn't get it. But the discussion seemed to end there. And Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So I love God, I love my neighbor, I don't get hung up in rituals and sacrifices and work and so on. It's all about God and it's all about my neighbor, and of course, yeah. Is that where it ends? As we said, this man, I'm sure he was very pious, he probably had a great heart, he thought he was doing what was right in the sight of God and saying amen to all that God had asked of him. But Jesus said, well, you know, you're close, but not there. Not where? The kingdom of God. I can think of a couple of things that it's important to be close in. Have any of you played horseshoes? That's close, you know. You don't necessarily get the ringer, but you get close, right? That counts. But getting close to the kingdom really doesn't count. You want to be in the kingdom. You want to be part of God's family. Boy, this is a tough question, isn't it? Jesus had been asked of this or questions like this, you know, throughout his ministry. And, you know, people, well, they couldn't surrender. They couldn't offer themselves totally to God and so on. But they always went ahead in kind of an empty fashion. And I think that's sort of common today. I think that people, maybe even throughout history, you know, well, I know what God wants of me. How do I know what God wants of me? Well, Jesus summed up the commandments, but you know the commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he began by saying, I love you so much. I rescued you. I delivered you. And that's true, isn't it? God has loved us so much. He's rescued us and delivered us. Therefore, I want you to live a life that's reflective of me. And you know the commandments. Love God, right? Only one God, the true God. Worship him, honor him. For those whom God has put around us in positions of authority or relationships, honor and respect. Don't take, don't steal, don't covet, you know. And God kind of sums it up in his own words too. You shall be perfect as I am perfect. Are any of you feeling very perfect today? I don't see many hands raised. In fact, I don't see any. You don't see mine. I don't feel perfect in and of myself. I sin in my thoughts, as we confess that, don't we? We sin in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We're not where we should be. We're not where God wants us to be. In fact, God says, I want you to be perfect. And for so many people, that's where it ends. When we talk about saints who've gone before us and that heaven is our home, it didn't end there. I mean, it didn't end with the law. When you consider the law of God, well, it's important. God gave us his law, and he says, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to be and become. The law very pointedly shows us our sin, doesn't it? I look at the law, it's like a mirror. It's a guide, it's a curb. I mean, it's there. I see it and I recognize that I am not where I need to be, and oftentimes don't want to be even. I need help. I need help. I want to be part of God's family. I want to be in his kingdom. I want heaven to be my home. But I can't get there myself. And as I said, for so many people, that's where it ends. And so they give up on God. They can't understand what it means to live in a fallen world. There's so much evil abound. And you know, people of God, Christians, struggle as everyone struggles, right? I mean, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be dealing with this. Oh, really? We all have a fallen nature, right? And we're all susceptible to disease and sickness, and we're susceptible to broken relationships and all kinds of stuff that get in the way of our life. We have tears. Sad. We need help. And so many miss the good news. Plenty of bad news, but miss the good news. And you know what the good news is, right? The good news is Jesus. What's behind the first and the greatest commandment and the second like it? Behind that is Jesus lifting us up and holding us up before God the Father. He's the one. He's the one who took upon himself. Comes into the world. God so loved us, he sent his son. And what did Jesus do? Perfect life. Tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. Perfect life. Something you, boy, I can't begin to achieve that. But Jesus was perfect. And then not only was he perfect as the Son of God, but he went to the cross, suffered and died, took upon the sin, the weight of the whole world. Imagine it. Do you ever feel sort of burdened and kind of down in the dumps and think, how can I ever get through this day? Well, can you imagine carrying the sin of the whole world? We often say to one another, hey, let go of that. That person's got to deal with that. You can't carry that person's weight, you know, on your shoulders. Jesus carried the weight of the whole world. Every sin that was and will be till the end of time on himself. And not only was the perfect life, the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect power to destroy our last great enemy, death, right? Death has no hold upon us. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. As I said, we often miss the mark. We miss seeing the gospel and the good news. We get so buried and covered up with our own sinfulness, our own lack of, you know, I can't do this, I can't make it, so therefore, what's the use? And God breaks into our life and says, this is what it's all about. I love you, and there is a use. And that use is for you to be saved. We got a lot of stuff going on in our world today, don't we? Boy, I am going to be so happy when Tuesday's over. But then I'm told, as I listen to commentators, it may not be over for another week or so. I don't know. We're all feeling bombarded. Now, none of us here, obviously, we live in Central Illinois, but I talked to a couple people over this past week. One was visiting us from Wisconsin, And they said, boy, I'm so happy to be out of Wisconsin. I remembered that's a battleground state, you know. I mean, they are bombarded every moment, commercial after commercial after commercial, and it's all, well, it's just not pleasant stuff to listen to. And I had another friend I was in touch with from Minnesota, and he kind of said the very same thing. I said, well, there are pluses to live in central Illinois, I guess, you know. We don't get quite that amount of overwhelming chaos and disgusting words and so on. We live in a fallen world. I guess really nothing should surprise us. I mean, you know, it's like in our own personal life, you know. We have good days. We're riding the wave. Now, I'm not a surfer, believe me. I can barely stand on one of those flat, what are they called, in the water, and you have a paddle, you stand up. Paddleboard. You probably do a good job of that. Man, my grandkids said, don't try it, Papa, you'll fall off. And I usually do. But sometimes, you know, in our lives, we feel like we're riding the wave. We're on the crest. Everything's going great, wonderful. And then, boom, something just undercuts us. And we're rolling around and falling to the ground. And we just, man. We don't want to miss the gospel. Because the gospel is God's greatest gift of all. The gospel is Jesus in the fullness of his glory. It's salvation. It's all about his love, his mercy, and forgiveness for us. It's all about new starts and new beginnings. You know, when the psalmist says, this is a day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be happy. It's a new day. Our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't look at you, oh, by the way, remember what happened last week? God doesn't say that. Although there is, you know, that temptation from Satan, right? The devil, right? Remember what happened. But God counters that in his son, and he says, but remember, Jesus says, what I did for you. Love you with an everlasting love. My Father looks at you through me and sees what? 100% perfection. You see, the solution, the answer to the greatest of the commandments is Jesus. He's the one who covers our sin. He's the one who wipes the slate clean. And even though it's hard for us to forgive, and we have all these memories, and stuff just seems to get in the way and pile up, Jesus is right there, wiping it clean. There's no better news. There's no better news. As on this day of when we celebrate the victory in Jesus for those who've gone before us in heaven, there's no greater news. I mean, they're enjoying God's presence forevermore. We're anticipating it in heaven as well. And this is what all this is about. This is what our church and our worship and our prayers and so on, it's what it's all about. It's getting ready. And the best is yet to come. But we have a foretaste of that every day. Don't miss the gospel. Don't miss the good news. God is for us. Who can be against us? And our words, our heart, is one. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. There's laid up for us a crown of righteousness, goodness, acceptance, 100% yes before God and for all who love him in Jesus. May God keep us in that victorious faith, Jesus. May the good news be our foundation and our rock in the darkest of times and in the lightest of times as well. Amen. And all God's people said, amen.